All right, I'm ready. Let's do it.
We're recording.
Cool, man.
Stokecast Nation, what's up? It's Jonathan here with Emily. I hope that you didn't miss us too much these last couple months. I know there's been a void in the world, and we're sorry about that. But
oh my gosh.
this is not the start of the next season. This is a Stokecast special report. Believe us, there is a next season that's coming, and we'll get to that later on. But Emily and I just wanted to carve out a little bit of time here on a Sunday to connect and really just hit record on a candid conversation that we are just going to have about like what's going on in our lives and the general world as it stands right now. There's a lot of uncertainty. Emily, you want to weigh in on anything here?
I don't know, not much going on lately. So it's been a crazy time. I mean, we kind of all went into 2020 with a great level of intention, and we're like, 2020 is gonna be the year, you know? It's like a new decade. We're really like hitting the pavement, and shit really hit the fan quickly. So, you know, obviously there's the coronavirus going on, there's a global pandemic happening right now. And we were kind of chatting before we recorded and talked a little bit about, you know, the experiences that we've been having with this crazy time. And we kind of both felt like, although it's really scary and a lot for a lot of people, and it's very serious, that there's a lot of beauty and great things that are coming from this global experience. And so one of the things we talked about right off the bat is how interconnected everyone is. Like, we're all, I think you put it really well. You're like, everyone's kind of deciding together that we are going to do what's best for the 2% of the population, which I think is really beautiful.
Yeah, I think it is inspiring to see how drastically the world can change on a dime, and how, you know, everybody's lives have changed, whether it was forcefully or not. I think unfortunately, a lot of people's professional lives were forced to change because of an economic downturn that's going on right now. And people are out of work, and that's horrible. Like, I have such empathy and sadness for what's happening with the economy and anybody whose friends or families are affected from a health standpoint. But yeah, of course, it is inspiring to see how much people are sacrificing to attempt to protect the 2 to 3% of the population globally that could be affected by this, at least at the current like real fatality rates of this virus. But yeah, I'd say, you know, with that said, like, I wouldn't want anybody to lose their outlook and their momentum and positivity that they had with the intention set in 2020 because of what's going on. Like, yes, it's easy to kind of feel like, well, this year took a turn, and it did, but it's also important to understand that, like, there is always opportunity in change. And it's just a matter of, you know, keeping the attitude and the mindset to find it. And so we can talk a little bit about like our own experiences with like this current quarantine and how it's affecting our work life situation. Also, just you and I have historically worked remote full time anyway. So you know, we might have some tips to share that might help some people that are transitioning to remote work right now. But just in general, like, I think with as much, like I said, I guess empathy as I have for the economy and world health, it's also kind of refreshing and amazing to see the whole world have to pause and slow down and like just not move so fast. And I've been guilty of that too. I think all of our listeners understand and have heard like me venting in the past about just how pretty much all of like 2018 into especially 2019, I was just burning the candle at both ends and working on so many different projects and traveling nonstop and just burning out and getting sick. And it's been like kind of just amazing personally to just be like, well, all of my future trips are canceled, like for the foreseeable future. I am not going anywhere, and I'm just going to be home with my wife and the dogs and not worry about going anywhere and just focus on like personal projects and keeping the business going and and create, you know, creativity as far as music and reading. And like, it's been an interesting period to pause for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's the first time in my adult after college life that I haven't felt like I need to do something like all hours of the day. I have plans every single night after work, and you know, it's been nice, and I've made time for things like yoga that I'm always like, oh, I should start doing yoga, and I never do it. And I've actually made the time and commitment to do it more often, not every single day, but, you know, 4 times a week instead of the 0 I was doing before, you know, making more time to, like, both mornings this weekend, I spent just hours, like, reading on my couch, which is my all-time favorite activity. So being able to, like, have the permission almost to be able to do that and not feel guilty, it almost feels good, because you're also helping with the collective self-quarantine too. So you're right. Like feeling good about it, and also you're doing these things that maybe you've put off for so long, and that feels really good.
Yeah. What are you reading?
Obviously terrible. I just finished a book called A Woman Is No Man, and it was a bit heavy, so I don't know if I'd recommend that to people. But then I just am going to start now When Women Were Birds. It's this book that's like supposed to be like a feminism Bible. So it was written like years ago. It's not anything new. And then I just got a new book by Glennon Doyle. It's called Untamed, and it's about like stepping into your full potential and your power. So that's on the stand as well. I have a lot of things on the stand. What are you reading right now?
So I just finished Powerful by Patty McCord, which, you know, Patty was the chief culture officer or chief people officer from Netflix, right hand to Reid Hoffman when they were starting and scaling that. And so this whole book was about just basically scaling your people and your culture and the right and wrong ways to do that based on their experience. And now I'm revisiting in praise of slowness here. I just felt like it was a good time to rethink on, you know, challenging the cult of speed. So that's been fun. I've just been, you know, flipping around through that book. And then the next thing on my list here is Wild Success. It's 7 key lessons business leaders can learn from extreme adventures. And my friends, Amy and Kevin, actually, you know, fellow adventure speakers in the circuit with me from the AIP group, they wrote that and just released it. And I'm excited to dig in. Cause you know, obviously that's my favorite thing, is how to weave metaphors from adventure into business. So that book's all about that.
Yes.
I'm excited to support them. So if that's up your alley too, check it out.
Okay. Well, I might. So, and then when this is all over, you can Clorox it and just send it to me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
wrap this with like sanitizing wipes in a little package for you.
So we were talking before we recorded about how, you know, races got canceled. I personally had weddings get canceled. Your birthday celebration got canceled. Like everything is obviously canceled right now.
Yes.
So what are you doing to like virtually spend time with people if you're doing anything?
So I know that, you know, one of the last episodes that we recorded towards the end of last year was with Andrew. And we had talked about me doing the Tuckerman's Inferno, right? And I was like saying how it just perpetually was the race that got away because of my travel schedule. And this year I was going to do it. Well, again, this year that one got away because of what's going on. It was supposed to be in like just 2 weeks. And so there's no more. I did not sign up for the reason that you just stated. And yes, my birthday was last week and canceled the celebration. So I don't know. For me, like I've been, you know, with my team, with the business, I've been doing a lot of Zoom calls and not just for like meetings, but actually like Zoom meetups, just to like, we had a, like a book club meeting where there was like 8 of us just on a Zoom call. And then you can actually, there's like a breakout feature where you can hit the breakout and it just like splits all the people that are in the call into like little breakout rooms. And you have like a timed I don't know, like a minute that you're like speaking with one person and then you get like pushed off into another room. It's like, it's a pretty cool little
speed dating,
right? It's like chat roulette or speed dating meets video conferencing. So that's been fun. I mean, I've been, you know, talking to my parents a couple times a week and just calling friends and trying to catch up, but not like anything out of the ordinary. It's for me, again, it's just kind of been like a nice retreat to just like be home and just like in the mornings, you know, go for a little run around the block with the dogs and like get stuff done around the house that I hadn't been doing. Like I think on like Halloween, we had like a crazy windstorm here and some massive trees fell in the backyard behind the barn and they were just sitting back there for months. And actually a couple days ago, Alex and I went back with a saw and a rake and like actually tackled like cleaning up. This is like a 150 foot tall pine tree that came down. And
that's a great example of doing something that you've probably thought about and said you were going to do for a long time.
Yeah.
And you actually have time to do it now.
Totally. Right. Catching up on laundry, you know, finishing home projects and just like it. Also, I've probably watched more Netflix and Disney Plus than like normal, but that's also been okay. I've been kind of enjoying that. We just binged watched You. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's kind of like if you were into Dexter.
Oh, I've heard of it. I've seen it.
Have you?
Yes. It's so creepy. Yeah,
it is creepy.
It's so creepy.
But if you like Dexter, you like You.
Yeah. It's so, I actually doubled down on, remember, so when we last talked, I was like, I'm giving up streaming services for the first month. And I did, besides when I was on the treadmill doing training workouts. And so I'll give myself that, you know, it's fine. Because it's really hard to be on a treadmill for like an hour and a half, you know, doing stuff. Yeah. But I really doubled down. Now I have Hulu and Disney Plus in addition to Prime and Netflix. And I just got HBO too. So I'm just like, if there was ever a time to really do it, you know, it's now.
That's right.
And there's so many good shows out there. I put some on my Instagram earlier, but like, you know, all the ones where you're like, oh my God, your friends tell you, you know, they've won awards. You're just like, I never have time to watch that freaking show. And I know I'll be like addicted to it once I watch it. Now you can just do that, which is kind of nice.
It's funny. I saw a meme the other day. I don't know if you might have seen this too, where it's like literally all we have to do to save humanity is sit on the couch and watch TV. That's
it.
And like, but unfortunately people are still struggling with that, which like people are still trying to go out and do things. And you see the, like the videos of people still on spring break at all the beaches in Florida. And like, it's just crazy. But I'm curious how you're dealing with like literally all we have to do is stay inside, but obviously we're addicted to and in love with outside. That's like, that's what we talk about here. That's what we like makes us tick. Right. And that's been a struggle.
Yeah.
Like even yesterday I went out to like, I just had to run and I've been trying to stay in as much as possible and do like body weight workouts and stuff, but I just had to run. I went and ran the trails across the street in the Blue Hills here. And there were like more people that I've ever seen back there on the trails because there's nowhere else to go. And when everything else closed, like people and their families are just flocking to these like recreation trailheads. And unfortunately, that becomes a dangerous experience these days for everyone. And I even felt that when I just had to kind of run as fast as possible and get home and just like keep my distance in the woods and everything. But it has me thinking like, should I still be back there unless it's like, I don't know, after dusk or like 4:30 a.m. or something, right? Like, what are you doing about the outdoors?
I feel like, it's really hard and I've struggled with it a little bit. Earlier this week, we did go trail running, Andrew and I, and there were so many people on the trail that I didn't go since. And I mean, that was a Monday afternoon. So like this weekend, I didn't do it at all because I just knew. And quite honestly, like if we can't do the right thing. And I know that people have kids and they're probably like, what do I do to get my kids' energy out? Like I need to have them be able to run around and whatever. But unfortunately there's just gotta be other ways. Because you know, I've seen a lot of like counties that have to shut down their trails because people can't like wrap their minds around the fact that like the outdoors are not safe either. Like you can't just like go, you're still in groups of people.
Right.
But like today I was like, okay, well I'll just go on pavement where there will be less people. So I went on the bike path that's near me and, you know, I felt terrible the entire time. I was like, I shouldn't be out here. Like, you know, and so, and I tried to remain 6 feet away from people, but you know, there's bikes going by you and you can't really control how other people walk towards you. So it's, and you don't want to be like, ugh, get away from me, you know? So I think what I'll probably start doing is honestly just go running around in my neighborhood so I can like run on the road and I can stay away from people. You know, one thing that Andrew and I have started doing every day when we're done working is taking Kate on a long walk. And even that is like, again, so many people are out walking, which is great overall, but not right now. So it's definitely a challenge. I don't really have a solution for it, but right now I'm just trying to take it day by day and do the most respectful thing that I can do with what I'm learning kind of day by day.
Yeah, it's really weird that like for the first time ever, it feels like the outdoors are not a safe space, right?
Yeah.
Like that outdoors have always been the reprieve, the safe spot, the like the place you go to get away or to, you know, find freedom or whatever. And for the first time ever, it's like, no, you like just chill out in your bedroom. Just hang out inside.
Yeah.
That's the only place that is like 100% okay right now. And that's weird. And I know that there's like,
yeah,
there's two sides of what I'm seeing, at least, you know, within the outdoor industry, as far as posts go. And there's like a lot of people that are being super conscious and mindful about like staying away from really crowded outdoor places. And then, you know, there are some people that are maybe not in the most outdoor crowded places, but like are still posting like that they're out there just like hucking crazy cliffs and doing extreme backcountry lines and climbing some really, really ridiculous stuff because there's, you know, maybe there's nobody around, but at the same time, there's the other consideration of like, what happens if you get hurt? What happens if you get trapped? Like rescue is
right
further away than it has ever been. And like, with the, you know, with the hope that you are rescued eventually, if something does go wrong, like you are now taking up space at a hospital that are already maxed out on beds and resources and supplies and people, right? It's like,
it's really challenging. I mean, it blows my mind that not all of the national parks are closed right now. So Rocky Mountain just closed, I think, 2 or 3 days ago. I know Yosemite closed. But, like, people are flocking to these huge places that, first of all, a lot of them are in remote towns, so they cannot handle the influx of people or should not be able to handle the influx of germs coming in. And so I guess all to say, I don't want to, like, belabor this point anymore where it's, you know, we're all hearing all this like constantly every day about like what we should do, what we shouldn't do. And it changes daily too, you know?
Yeah.
But I think the point is stay the hell home.
Oops. Oops. And... one second. Hey, sorry. I hit the wrong button. Mom.
You're in the middle of recording.
We're recording right now. Welcome to the Stokecast.
Of course.
Hey everybody. This is Kathleen. Hi. Ronzio.
Hi, Kathleen.
All right, I'll call you back after.
Sorry.
Love you, Mom. Bye.
Bye. Love you. Bye.
But basically, all to say that do your best to do the most safe thing, right? Like, you know, don't chance it. Don't be like, well, there's probably not going to be a lot of people there. Do the most conservative thing that you could do. And then when you do that, you're doing the better thing for yourself and the better thing for everyone involved. So that's for public places. I think that's the way to go. And it's a learning process. So don't like beat yourself up about it, but just try to like follow people who seem to have really good information and, you know, look at the news, understand what you should be doing outside.
Yeah. The Stokecast Stay Home Edition.
So speaking of staying at home, we both work from home pretty regularly. I work from home every Monday through Friday day. And I work from home also with my partner. So let's talk a little bit about some things that you've learned along the way before we were forced into working from home that maybe some people who are now new to it can learn from.
Yeah, I mean, so for me, I think one of the most important things is as much as I hate like routine and schedule, I think when you're working from home, like you have to have some sort of a schedule, right? If you're not waking up,
snaps,
right?
If
you're not waking up to actually like, you know, shower and get dressed and get to the office at a certain point for a meeting with other people, and you have that thing that gets you out the door, like you need to make sure that you have something in the morning that is motivating you to start your day a certain way. And I know that in the past I've talked about how I do the core four. That's kind of hit or miss. I still try to do it. I'm not as religious about it as I used to, but like just having something in the morning that is more routine based as far as like a workout or a green smoothie or a walk with the dogs or maybe just it's like breakfast for me lately, because like Alex, as a, you know, she's a figure skating coach and all the rinks are closed. So my wife is now like just home. She's like for the first time ever kind of just hanging out here while I'm working as well. And so we've had our morning routines of like, you know, get up and take the dogs out and feed them and do breakfast together and like have coffee together and talk about our day. And then I retreat to my work. But like having that kind of kickoff routine is super helpful. And I also find that I've been working from different places and that helps a lot. Mm. Like working from home doesn't mean like that I'm always at this desk in this like home office here. I like sometimes just grab my computer and go sit at the kitchen table or the counter or like on the couch or go up to like where I, you know, play music in like the attic. Like I have different areas and just switching up my space that I'm working in, even from home, helps me stay sane for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the things that's helped me absolutely the most in working from home is that I leave, this is true of when I was working in an office too, but it's even more, you can fall into this trap even more so at home because you're just like at home on your own. No one's watching you or doing anything. So I leave my phone in the other room for at least the first 3 hours of the day. Absolutely. To minimize distractions, I try to not have any calls at least for the first hour and preferably the first 3 hours of the day so that I can focus on the things that I need to do to actually get done. And then I answer all my emails and then I like do them on my calls so yep. that, you know, my mental energy is focused in the morning and then I can like, you know, cause talking is much easier than doing like strategic work, you know?
Right. But to that
so
point,
that is a big thing.
I think you're not going to get strategic work done if you don't like block the time. It's so easy to get distracted
oh, totally.
At home,
yeah.
whether it's with like somebody coming to the door or like, you know, a call from friends or family or just wanting to get up and go get snacks. Right. Like it's very easy to get distracted.
Yeah.
And I think that like it's so important when you work from home to actually block time on your calendar that you like you adhere to. If you blocked out those 2 hours or 3 hours or 4 hours to do that deep work, to get the thing done that you need to get done, then do that and shut off distractions. And it's been like over 2 years that I've like, you know, for the most part, like, you know, that I just picked this up with my mom calling, but for it's different circumstances these days, but for the most part, I have turned off all notifications and rings and everything on my phone. Like it doesn't even buzz. And like, I just try to limit distractions as much as possible. And I think the other thing about remote work is like, it's amazing to have the tools like Zoom and Slack and, you know, GChat or whatever you use to like be active and like have instant communication. But just because somebody on your team like had a moment to send you a message doesn't mean you have the moment to reply. And I think that you have to set that precedent. Like just because it's called instant messaging doesn't mean you have to have instant replies. Like you have to give yourself the time to like ignore, compartmentalize and respond to that stuff later that doesn't detract and distract from what you need to get done.
Absolutely. And I put myself on do not disturb when I'm in that like, you know, 3 hour or whatever the hour block is, you know? And I've had people ask me, like, how do you manage all of like people ping you all the time? And I'm like, I just don't talk to them. Once you stop, or just saying, like, I'm on the phone, OTP, I'm on the phone, stop talking to me, like really quick. That kind of stuff is really helpful. I know my team at my company is doing a lot of like virtual lunches, virtual happy hours, virtual coffees. Like, I think that stuff is really good if you're someone who really likes being in an office environment, to just, if your company's not doing those things, reach out to people and create them on your own. If you're a freelancer, reach out to some of your freelance buddies that maybe want to do that. That's a really thing that's been nice for, I think, the people who are really used to working in an office. I personally am like, well, I always eat at lunch alone, so I'm fine. But for people who are like not used to this, I think that's really good. I'm trying to think of some other things that aren't like repetitive of the digital minimalism conversations we've had so many times, but
I think
they're all really helpful.
it's difficult for maybe for some people that are used to the office environment that are like they enjoy having a time that they get to work and a time that they leave work. And I think when you work from home, it's easier for work to blend into, your home hours, right?
Yeah,
And it
for sure.
I am mindful of that, but on at the same time, like I'm such a workaholic and love it that I'm just totally comfortable like jumping on my laptop at like 6 a.m. Or at 11 p.m. or like at all time. Like I enjoy what I do so much, like all the different projects, like whether it's Stokast or Trainual or anything. Like I love the things that I'm working on, and I know I'm fortunate to say that, but that makes it easier for me to work from home and not have a strict stop start time. But I think if you are somebody that needs that, give yourself that. Don't feel bad about like saying these are my out of, this is when I would normally leave the office and this is when I'm gonna shut down. Like I've worked in a traditional agency where I had that mindset where I wasn't loving what I was doing and I was like, nope, I'm not talking to you after six, right?
Yeah, totally. And put it on your calendar too. Same thing. Non-working hours before 8:30, before or after 5:30. Big blocks every single day. No one can talk to you then because you have non-working hours, or put things on your calendar. Yeah, I think that's really important. I think if you're able to, and your primary workspace is in a separate room from like the rest of your house, shut the door after you're done. I find that really helpful to just be like, okay, I'm done. Like, okay, I'm gonna shut the door on this for the rest of the evening so that I can just like not even think about it, out of sight, out of mind. So I think that's really helpful as well. And I know that a lot of people are now working with their significant others, and maybe they don't have the setups where they have like a particular office, or they have separate offices, and that can be really challenging. So for folks in those situations, first of all, I don't work in the same office as Andrew, so I should preface that. So I don't know what that's like to have to work in the same room as your significant other. But we started working from home, and we also work for the same company. I don't know, almost a year ago, I guess now, 9 months ago. And one of the things that we learned along the way is what's really helpful is before the day starts or before the week starts, to have sort of like a meeting about what's on your calendar, what kind of workload you have that week, so that when I'm going up and down the stairs, getting coffee, making lunch, whatever, if he's like really stressed out, or vice versa, if I'm really stressed out, he doesn't come up and try to talk to me and like get me out of my flow zone so that I'm more stressed out. So there's like, you can communicate those things. We call it our come to Jesus meeting on Sundays, and we talk about like what our week entails, what we need from each other. And we find that really helpful. And so when I know he has his headphones on and he's like writing or doing a certain thing, I don't try to talk to him because we're basically not working in the same spot. So I think that that is something that is really hard to do because you're like, yay, I get to like spend all the time with my favorite person. But also, that's a lot of freaking time. So like, take the time to work and put in your hours and do the things that are important to you and that you help you make money. And then have a clear, like, we're gonna hang out and watch a movie tonight. So we don't need to necessarily like talk all day, So that's been really helpful for us, is to have an open conversation about like what we need from each other for the week.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, Alex and I don't do that for the week, but like start of every morning over breakfast, we've just been like, all right, this is what's on my calendar today. These are when I have meetings. This is when I have breaks. This is when I need to like block out for like getting work done. You know, and it's been great. Setting
awesome.
Like,
there you go.
That's the thing. Like, successful working remote for your team and even the person, your partner, your wife, your, you know, husband, whatever, the person that's like with you, the way to make it work is over communication.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's just like in general for sure. Yeah. But now it's like, because you're forced into these spaces by yourselves, you know, things come out that maybe you didn't necessarily think of before. Yeah. Guys, be communicative.
All these companies that you've been seeing in your inbox doing like the like COVID-19 responses, right? Instead of, I don't know, at first it was like a couple of the companies that I got that from. It was like, oh, that's really nice. Like, you know, glad to hear it. Good to see what you're doing. And then it started trickling into this like waterfall of like, hey, us too. And they were just all saying the same thing. So what I wanted to do with the Trainual team was specifically for people that are navigating this transition to remote work and struggling is we built a whole new website. And like our response was just like, hey, if you're struggling with remote work right now, fortunately, we happen to be a tool that's like positioned to help people stay aligned no matter where they're working. But like we just put all the top articles that like I was reading or videos that we were watching or like tools or templates, etc., that we were using onto a site called remoteworkresources.com. Simple as that. So like if you're looking, if this has like been a struggle for you or your business, check it out. Totally free. Like, have at it. Remoteworkresources.com.
I've sent it to multiple clients, so
good.
Trying to
awesome.
Help you guys. I'm like, everyone's asking for resources, and you know, I could tell them what I think, but there's already a tool created, so it's all good.
Yeah. No, and honestly, it's like not about like our company at all. It's just like here's helpful stuff. I think that's been the pivot right now, right? Like, you know, especially from the mindset of like directing all Trainual marketing and advertising and everything, like I've seen the immediate change in Google search behavior and in Facebook and Instagram ads and content consumption and behavior and what people are looking at, what people are watching, how people are buying. Like, I've seen that right on the forefront. And the pivot is like, now is not the time to be overly like self-promotional or to try to sell and convert and do like worry about acquisition. Now is the time to build brand off of just giving value and just like being
doing the right thing.
Yeah, just being, you know, entertaining and educating and just being kind and empathetic and helping people. That's what has to work right now, from marketing, from sales, from anything within your business.
Which also, you know, I have so many emails in my inbox. I'm like, I didn't even know I was signed up. Like, what is this company? I don't even know who they are. So I really need to take my names off some subscribe lists, I guess. But, you know, it's been really good to see this outpouring of good business response. I mean, businesses are like waiving fees and like helping the restaurant business or like helping people who don't have childcare or, you know, there's just not just businesses, but like individuals, like a lot of NBA players, when they shut down the season, paid for all the wages for everyone that worked at the stadiums. Ooh, I just got goosebumps because that just like made me feel so good to see something like that. And, you know, so for things like that, that kind of stuff is great to see. And it also makes me feel like, wow, there's so much opportunity to collectively do more of this, regardless of the coronavirus. Like, we can help each other out way more, I think, in everyday life. And this is just a big, like, magnified example of that, you know? And it's really heartwarming to see, like, people are really trying to be supportive of others. And I know there's a fund through Crooked Media that has, like, you can donate to that fund and then they'll disperse evenly across, like, you know, healthcare providers, people who don't have access to childcare, like restaurant business, all the businesses that are basically affected by being shut down. So there's great stuff like that you can just donate your money to, or, do, like order takeout, things like that, that are really just beneficial.
I completely agree with most of that. I'm struggling with ordering takeout. Like I want to support small businesses. Like I want to support the restaurants. I feel for them, but like
I get that
at the same time, like
gift cards. Gift cards instead.
Nobody's talking about that. Literally last night I was watching like coronavirus news.
Don't do that. Sad. That's really scary.
you gotta stay updated, right? Like it's just maybe 5 minutes a day. I'm like looking at it just to like know Saturday what's, night you're
watching
on.
Coronavirus news.
I mean,
you need more streaming services, man.
Well, in bed before you know, calling it a night and just put it on, right? Well, gotta know what's going on. But like there was a segment of the news for like a minute that was like talking about this taco truck in LA that's like packaging up tacos for takeaway for people. And it's like, well, I mean, cool, but like, you don't know if the person that's like making your tacos has it or not. Right. Like the people that are actually handling the like packaging materials or any of that. Like, so that's where I struggle with, like, I want to support the restaurants and I feel for the hospitality business, but like, I also, I'm like, hey, I'm just going to cook from home.
Yeah. I mean, we can just give them money, right? Like you can just donate to them, I guess. Yeah. You don't need to get their food. Probably better anyways. So they're not like spending money on food and then it going to waste, you know? So, but it's really been cool to see, you know, what people are trying to do in order to help those in need. And I think that, like, brings me a lot of humanity joy. That's a new term, right? Humanity joy. It makes me feel good about the world and in a world that, you know, or in a shitstorm of a situation that we're in.
No, I agree. So let's like, you know, normally we do the quarterly check-in where we kind of just talk about like goals for the upcoming next few months and what's going on. I think a lot of that is uncertain. Personally, like I said, like the Tux Inferno, is, you know, I don't even know if it's canceled, but I just figured it was going to be, so I didn't even sign
it.
I'm sure it's going to be canceled. Yeah.
So, or it might be postponed. So you should look if it's later in the year.
Yeah. So, but later in the year, Tux won't have any snow, right?
Oh, right. Well,
that's the final leg is to climb and ski the headwall. When's the earliest
does it gets snow in December generally? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I'll keep an eye on it, but like
figure something else.
That's you know, probably not going to happen. I was supposed to go with Ethan and Ryan from Between the Peaks, the BTP guys. I was going to go out to Moab at the end of May with them for a couple day mountain bike trip. Don't know if that's going to happen. That's TBD. As of right now, I am heading back to Mauna Kea. You remember I went there in Hawaii, the volcano, last February. Mm-hmm. Going back with a few guys at the end of August to climb that again, assuming we can travel by then. I was supposed to do Cotopaxi in July down in Ecuador. That's also like...
I literally just shut down Skype. Did yours do that too?
No, you just froze and you just left
you
me
You were frozen
high and, dry.
And I was like, oh.
Left me high
God
and dry.
Damn. I'm sorry, man.
That's okay. So... So I just said like basically all the things that I had written at the beginning of the year of like, it was like the Inferno and Cotopaxi and Mauna Kea and all these different things are just like so up in the air and uncertain and I don't know what's going to happen. But those are, you know, some of the things that are kind of on the agenda. I signed up, for the Killington Spartan Beast in September and I hadn't back in 2016, I did so many Spartan races after... I don't know if our listeners know this or not, but I was on the NBC like Spartan Ultimate Team Challenge TV show back in 2016 and then did a bunch of those races and then stopped. I was like loving it, but I stopped doing Spartan races to like train for Denali and then kind of never got back into it. So I was really craving like obstacle kind of Ninja Warrior stuff again. So I signed up for a Spartan race and probably going to go back to like a ninja gym to like go monkey around. But that's,
sounds fun.
It does sound fun, but those are like a lot of the fitness objectives are tied to these, you know, like I try to do a big thing every quarter or maybe a couple things, but like they're tied to a lot of uncertainty because of travel or races or whatever's going on. So outside of that, I think I'm just trying to prioritize creativity and business and balance. And then like, if I can do those things, amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to think about, like, I was supposed to run a race yesterday in Moab and then supposed to be, you know, road tripping with Andrew for a full week, and that got canceled. So I was training for that in, you know, the winter in Boulder, which I was like a little annoyed that it got canceled. I understand why, but so that got canceled, and then I don't have any races on the calendar until September, purposefully, because I really just wanted to do like big loops in Colorado. But, you know, who knows if I'll be able to do that this summer. Don't know where we'll be at that point. So I think the things that I really started exploring the beginning of this year, and I'm kind of glad that they're kind of the changes that I'm making in my life now, because they're easy for me to do when I'm working from home and just staying at home all the time. Mm-hmm. And one of those things is I fully transitioned to be a vegan. I think like January, I was like tiptoeing in it for a while and then decided to just go for it. And it's really easy when you cook for yourself. you can completely control what's in your food, which is really nice.
Yep.
So that's been going really well. I mean, I feel awesome. I feel like super energized and healthy, and healthier than I've ever felt. So that's been great. You know, the training and the running stuff, it's like, I'm just trying to be gentle with myself right now and be like, you know, just get out in places that you can, when you can, if you can, and otherwise just do like at home workouts, do yoga at home, like do HIIT workouts if you can. Pete, not everyone has like gym equipment, and I have a couple things, but I don't have like what I would like to have from a gym. But so there's a ton of stuff on YouTube, as people probably know by now. There's like, if you just type in like no gym equipment HIIT workout, you can get a ton of stuff. So definitely do that. But yeah, I mean, the things that I feel like this first quarter I've been doing were much less like objective focused and more like lifestyle changes. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I was like, you know, I think I mentioned that in the fall, I went through like a major motivation slump, because like after the ultra marathon, like my IT band was messed up and I couldn't run, and then went from like the give yourself time to rest turned into like, I lost all like habitual motivation. And then it just like went into a total slump. And really, like, the first couple months before all this crap hit the world of this year were like really good from a skiing and snowboarding standpoint. I got out to, you know, Solitude and Powder Mountain and a few different trips, and then just the like little local ski hill that's down the street. I was going and like skiing there a few nights, and was getting in like more skiing than I had in the last couple years, which was really nice. And that was good. But then like just with the weather starting to warm up and like going out on a couple runs now, I'm definitely heavier on my feet and need to work back up. But at the same time, like, you know, also struggling with like not wanting to be out and running and be like, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing from a fitness standpoint right now. I definitely don't feel at the top of my game, but also just trying to like not judge myself for that and not let that guide my actions, because I want to be, you know, more focused on making sure the business is good through this, making sure like me and my family are healthy through this, and outside of that, just staying happy and sane while staying home.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing that I'll share with you guys is kind of a hot take, but we'll see if anyone else is. We've talked about this multiple times on the Stokecast, and I know other people struggle with this and try to figure it out. But I'm testing out being completely sober. By testing out, I mean I'm doing it. So I read a book recently about quitting, and I've been thinking about this for a long time, and we've talked about it many times, and done like sober months at the same time or whatever. And I've had like this, you know, 15-year journey with alcohol. I started drinking very young, so that's very a long time. But and I just, something switched in me where I was like, I feel like I'm at a point where I can just, I can do this. And I know it's, that's not, you know, the same narrative that everyone has that struggles with it, but I found that it's easier for me than I anticipated it being. There's definitely like a lot of hard pieces of it, but that's something that I'm actively doing now, which I feel pretty stoked on, but also, you know, open to the possibility that, you know, there will be some times maybe that that changes. I don't know. But right now it feels really good. And this is the lifestyle that I'm trying to lead. So
I think that's all you can do is focus on the right now and the choices that feel right right now. Right. Like, I mean, I have done stints of being vegan or pescatarian or vegetarian or and sober. Like, I've done all those different things and still think that it's a good thing for everybody to try from time to time, whether you think it's a problem or not. But just like, I'm such an advocate for experimentation in everything in life, with diet, with habit, with work, with whatever. Like, just,
yeah,
just taste as much experience as possible, and that informs your worldview and what you want to craft for your own lifestyle. And you know, for me right now, like, we don't buy any meat, but if we go out, then I'll have a, you know, a steak or something. And like, I'm not in a sober stint right now. I saw this, like, a thing the other day that was like, it's like, I'm either going to come out of this quarantine with like having read 20 books and a six pack, or, or I'll be 20 pounds heavier with a drinking problem. My hope for everybody is it's the former, but you know, if it's a blend of both, yeah, then like, I, you know, it's, everybody has their thing. So that's cool. I'm glad you're doing that.
I think that the cool thing about just like any sort of lifestyle change that you're making, doesn't matter what it is, it's up to you. First of all, it's like totally up to you. I'm not here to tell anyone to be vegan or sober or whatever. Like, you know, I'm on my own journey with that stuff, and that's totally your decision. And I think it's just cool that a lot of people that I've talked to recently, and that, you know, we've talked about this, are just really thinking about what they're putting in their bodies, you know, like just having more conscious awareness of what's going into their bodies. You know, I eat like a shit ton of salt. So, you know, like, there's things that I do where I'm like, I know I shouldn't be doing that, but I love salt and I love putting it on things, you know? But I think just like being more aware of like everything that surrounds these things that we knew, like, put into our bodies. And I think that's a really cool wave that's happening.
Yeah. No, my thing in this quarantine, I think what I've been doing more of is working on music. Which has been really nice. Like, because I've been, I think I've talked about it a little bit on the podcast, but I've been so just on the go forever, the past like couple years or more than that. But I just started realizing toward like the end of last year that it was like a struggle for me to put pen to paper and write lyrics the way that I used to. Like, I, you know, 10 years ago, if I flew, I would look out the window at like a sea of clouds and a spark for a song would come into my mind, and I'd write new lyrics and work on music. And music was like my first passion of creativity. And that evolved into more storytelling and filmmaking and marketing and media and then business and all of that. But I wanted to really get back to my roots with creative expression, with music and storytelling that way. And so actually I was able to get back in the studio with our podcast editor, Chris Plant, and who's actually,
hey, Chris.
Like, Chris doesn't really like edit a ton of podcasts. He's actually just a music producer that I happen to know, and he took on the Stokecast as like another thing. And he's been, you know, killer with it, obviously, but like his thing is music. He's awesome. And, so I'll play like a little clip, but actually like this is a teaser, 'cause it's not released yet. Let me see. Actually, before that, let me show. So this came out on my birthday. This was actually originally released in 2011 and re-released on my birthday to like get myself stoked to actually put out new music. This one, let's see. Right, this is my pop punk days.
So you can tell we were both emo kids. We're both totally wearing like black with white lettering on our shirts. Like, I love emo, man. Me too. I loved it. Yeah.
So yeah, I did get back. You know, that I put re-release that just to get in the right mindset. And there's another song called Lucky that's already done. This one just finished with Chris. It's called Always Yours, and it's like a ballad. And let's see, I'll play just a small piece of it here. I don't love you more. I'm always yours. I sit parked in the rain. Both hands on the wheel. Can't think of words to say. I don't even remember my name. Cool. So I don't want to play too much of it. That's going to come soon. But that's like, yeah, please hold up the lighters, hold up the candles. That's been like what's been keeping me going is just sitting down at the piano and with my guitar. And that's the reason for shutting the laptop has been to actually work more on music. And that's been awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad I have a creative outlet. I think everyone should try to have a creative outlet in this like crazy time. Doesn't matter if you know how to play guitar or you have a guitar or whatever. Lots of stuff you can do. So just try to find something that makes you feel creative for sure. Cause those brain juices, they feel really good. So do that.
Totally. Hey, so I guess we should also let people know, like, what's the deal with the Stokecast? This is like a special report, stay home edition, not the next season. So like, what are we doing?
Yeah, so we took off some time in order to do all this stuff that we're talking about, and now we're forced to do it even more because we're at home. So it's actually great timing for us to reinvigorate our creativity around the Stokecast. And what we've decided, we're starting to build out the schedule and the interviews, like get people lined up for the next season, and that does not have a date yet. So, but we will have probably a chunk of episodes that'll come out soon. Let's say soon. And so that is moving forward. And then we have some other side things. Jonathan, you want to talk about that stuff?
Yeah.
Like
I know we probably left off the New Year's episode talking about like this, the new Stokecast website, which, doesn't exist yet. Like everything is still on exploreinspired.com. But the new site is coming soon. And with that, like we've already been working on just a backlog of content and like all the, you know, top takeaways and lessons from like the last 86 episodes or whatever it's been. 88. I don't know. What do we have? No, 84. It's 80 something. I don't know. 80.
Unclear.
Unclear.
We've done a lot.
We've done a lot. So like we'll have like blog posts from recapping like all the best lessons from all of our guests of the past 80 episodes, and those will be coming out with the new site, and also we're in development for a book, title TBD. So I don't want to give that away yet either. A lot of teasers here, music teasers, book teasers, blog teasers.
Yeah.
But like, just know
personality teasers.
Yeah. There is a ton of Stokecast content, on the way, and the next season is on the way as well. So, if you're not in our Facebook group, definitely join that and hang with us there. For sure, follow Emily, and I mean, you know, you can check out ehalls.com where she has taken up pen to paper, but it's more like keyboard to internet.
yes.
So check out Emily's blog at ehalls.com, and just, you know, follow along, engage, DM us, whatever. We're still here. Just because we're not putting out, you know, weekly episodes doesn't mean we can't chat with you.
Yeah, that's right. So thanks, guys, though, for sticking with us. A lot of you guys have been reaching out and sending messages, even, you know, within this weird time. And the community in the Facebook group in particular is really awesome. So thank you guys for sticking with us. And we're going to have so much fun stuff to share with you coming soon.
Really hope in this time you're staying healthy, happy, sane. Hope that you and your work or your business have not been too affected. And you know, if you're struggling with anything that maybe we didn't cover, or maybe we did and you want to talk about a little bit more, like, please, during this time, let us know. Let's chat. We're here to help. We care about you. And again, really hope that everybody is doing well right now.